Amen. Welcome. Good to be able to glean some strength from God's word that we might continue to endure this life, looking forward hopefully to that which is to come. We have a promise of a much better life beyond this veil of tears. If you'd like, turn your Bibles to the 27th chapter of the book of Matthew, verse number 22. Pilate saith unto them, "What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ?" They all said unto him, "Let him be crucified." This question is without a doubt the most important question in the world. Ever has been, is, or ever will be. What must I do with Jesus, which is called Christ? There's many questions in our life. What profession that we're going to be in, even down to the clothes that we wear. Where are we going to go to? For young people, going to go to school, what kind of car, what are we going to buy, and whether or not we're going to buy, all kinds of decisions we're faced every day. Every person born into this life faces this question, and it is important to whether they are at, because of this, they must make their decision based on what took place in Pilate's hall. This question is important because of its far-reaching consequences. Man's relationship to God for now and through eternity depends upon his answer to this question. What are you going to do with Jesus, which is called Christ? Acts chapter 4 and verse number 12. Acts 4 and verse 12. The Bible says, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." And then in 1 Timothy 2 and verse number 5, 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 5, "For there is one God, one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus." The question is important because of its far-reaching consequences. It is important because the only way that man is going to be saved from the penalty and consequences of his sin is through and by the Lord Jesus Christ. There's salvation in no other. There's only one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. He's the only mediator. He's the only means to reach God. He's the only way that we can communicate with God and receive the cleansing from sin that every sinner needs. And by the way, all men have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Those who reject him will suffer eternal consequences, but those who receive him will enjoy the eternal blessedness that God has to offer. Man's relationship to his fellow man and the entire world depends on his answer to this question. 1 John 4 and verse 7, the Bible says, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God." The ability and capacity to truly love rests in Jesus Christ and our relationship with him. And therefore, our relationship with our fellow man and with our ability to love because of him, without him, we don't have that ability to really truly love others as we would love ourselves. Look at Galatians 5 and verse number 14. Galatians chapter 5 and verse number 14. "For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this: thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." The law is fulfilled in this one thing, that thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Only through Jesus Christ can a sinful man accomplish this task. So those who have a right relationship with Christ will have a right relationship with their fellow man, and those who are not right with Christ will not be right with the rest of the world. The man who Jesus has first placed in his heart and life right with, the man who Jesus has first placed in his heart and in his life is right with God and with man. Notice that Jesus has placed in the heart. Jesus places in the heart. Jesus reborns again the heart. Jesus regenerates the heart. Man does not and is not capable of doing so. It is all in Jesus. It must be He who places in our heart that our life may be right with God and with our fellow man. Look at Proverbs 3. Proverbs 3, the first four verses. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. If you want to live a long life, you want to have an enjoyable life, what you do with Jesus is very, very important. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. It is essential that we have a right relationship with Jesus Christ in order to have a right relationship with our fellow man. This question is also important because it deals with a central person of history. The effects of Jesus in the world is shown practically on every hand. In the field of art, someone is always trying to paint a picture of what Jesus looks like. And in religion, every religion of the world recognizes Jesus in some way. Even non-Christian religions recognize him as a great teacher. The whole world testifies of him by the calendar that they use in spite of men trying to change it. This date in AD, AD is Anno Domini, and it means in the day of our Lord, in the days of our Lord Jesus Christ. Even our calendar depicts Jesus. And he is basically in everything that exists. The question deals with the central figure of eternity. Jesus is the eternal one. He was in the beginning with God. He was and is God. John chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. John 1, verses 1 and 2 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning, before any other creation come into existence. The same was in the beginning with God. Jesus is the eternal one. He had no beginning. He will have no ending. He is from everlasting to everlasting. He is the one and only way to a happy eternity. The one and only way to a happy eternity. John 14 and verse number 6. John 14 and 6, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way. Didn't say I'm a way. He said, I am the way. The truth. Didn't say I am a truth. He said, I am the truth. Definite article. And the life. That's eternal life. There's no eternal life except by him, except through him. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. No access to God except through and by the Lord Jesus Christ. There is no other means, no other way to access God or to reach God other than through and by the Lord Jesus. Eternal happiness, we'd all desire that. But what is eternal happiness? It's being with God. Being with God. Being away from God is simple misery. Whether you're lost, certainly it is. If you're saved and you're away from God, certainly it is miserable. There's a consequence that is paid. To be happy eternally is to be with God. You know, Enoch walked with God and was not because God took him. Listen, the question that every responsible person must face, this question is that question. Hell is described as eternal separation from God. All of those who refuse to believe and trust in Jesus Christ that wind up in this terrible place are going to be there, separated from God and all that's good. And if you're separated from God, there is no love, there is no compassion, there is no help, there is no hope. It is all despair. And that's the condition that those go there are going to. And listen, what you do with Jesus depends on which place you're going to go, heaven or hell. And it is absolutely certain that you're either going to go one place or the other. And Jesus is the one that determines which place you go to. How you answer this question, what shall I do with Jesus? Because Jesus died for sin, every responsible person must come face to face with him and answer one way or another. Yeah. Hebrews 9, verse number 27. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 27. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. Appointed unto man once to die, but after that, die without Christ, and you'll stand before him in the white throne judgment. If you repent of your sins and by faith and trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, you'll stand before him at the judgment seat of Christ and give an account for what you have done according to the word of God. All men are going to face this, and to face the judgment, we've either won, either or. In a condition away from God or away from Christ is going to be a terrible event in the life of the individual. Look at John chapter 5, verses 22 and 23. Fifth chapter of the book of John. Verses 22 and 23. For the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son, that all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son honoreth not the Father which has sent him. All men are to honor the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. All men will be without excuse when they stand before God at the judgment. Look at Romans chapter 1, verse number 20. Romans, the first chapter, and verse number 20. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Now notice, the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood. You know what? Salvation has appeared to all men. In creation, where it can clearly be seen and understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead. Did you know that creation declares that God is a Trinity? Did you know that nature declares that there are three persons in the Godhead? There are three persons that are the God of heaven. They are three persons, and they're one in every way other than in person. And it declares it, and it's understood, man is without excuse for not looking to Jesus, for not looking to him. All men will be without excuse when they stand before God. All nature testifies of Christ. Look at the 19th Psalm. Psalm 19. Verse number 1. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night uttereth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. The heavens declare the glory of God, of Jesus, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line is gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them hath he set a tabernacle for the Son. Because of what Jesus has done, God has highly exalted him, and one day every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess that he is the Son of God. It doesn't leave anyone out. Every man, woman, and child one day will stand before the Lord Jesus Christ, and they'll confess. Philippians 2, beginning with verse number 9. Philippians, the second chapter, verse 9 says, wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in the earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Every knee will bow, every tongue will confess to the glory of God the Father. It's not a question as to whether or not one will acknowledge him. It is a question of when will it be. If it is in this life, salvation will be the result. If the unbeliever waits until the judgment, it will only add to his condemnation and his misery. Going to look at some examples of this question. Judas Iscariot made a decision in regard to this question. He was an unsaved man. Look at John 18, beginning with verse number 1. John chapter 18, verse 1. When Jesus had spoken these words, he went forth with his disciples over the brook Kedron, where was a garden, into which he entered, and his disciples. And Judas also, which betrayed him, knew the place, for Jesus oft times resorted thither with his disciples. Judas then, having received a band of men and officers from the chief priests and Pharisees, cometh thither with lanterns and torches and weapons. And Jesus, therefore, knowing all things that should come upon him, went forth and said unto them, whom seek ye? They answered and said, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus saith unto them, I am he. And Judas also, which betrayed him, stood with them. As soon as then, as he had said unto them, I am he, they went backward and fell to the ground. Should have got the hint. Then asked he them again, whom seek ye? And they said, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus answered, I have told you that I am he. If therefore ye seek me, let these go their way, that the saying might be fulfilled which he spake of them, which thou gavest me, I have lost none. He loved the things of this world, Judas did, more than he loved Jesus. He betrayed the Lord, sold him to his enemies for 30 pieces of silver. Pilate, the Roman governor, he answered his own question by his actions. Matthew 27, verse number 24. Matthew 27 and verse number 24. When Pilate saw that he could prevail nothing, but that rather a turmoil was made, he took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, I am innocent of the blood of this just person. See ye to it. The blood of Jesus will not wash off one's hand. Pilate was convicted, or rather convinced, of Jesus' innocence. But he didn't have the courage to stand by his convictions. He was more concerned about his political image than his convictions. And he was more concerned about them than anything else. Pilate was a compromising politician. He was willing to sell out his own convictions and to compromise his own belief in order to assure his political future. Take a look. Do you see yourself in some of these? Are we not guilty from time to time? Peter, at Jesus' trial, he cursed and denied the Lord. Though he was saved, he still did this. Why did he do that? He did it because he neglected his prayer life. Look at Matthew 26. Matthew 26, beginning with verse number 36. Matthew 26 and verse 36. Then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto the disciples, Set ye here while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then saith he unto them, My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. And he went a little further. He went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. Verse 40, and he cometh unto the disciples and findeth them asleep, and saith unto Peter, What, could ye not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. He went away again the second time and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. Not only did he neglect his prayer life, but he followed Jesus afar off. Look at Matthew 26. Matthew chapter 26, in verse 58. But Peter followed him afar off unto the high priest's house, and went in and sat with the servants to see the end. Now Peter sat without in the palace, and a damsel came unto him, saying, Thou also was with Jesus of Galilee. But he denied before them all, saying, I know not what thou sayest. And when he was gone out into the porch, another maid saw him and said unto them that were there, this fellow was also with Jesus of Nazareth. And again he denied with an oath, I do not know the man. And after a while came unto him they that stood by and said to Peter, surely thou also art one of them, for thy speech betrayeth thee. Then began he to curse and to swear, saying, I know not the man. And immediately the cock crew. And Peter remembered the words of Jesus, which said unto him, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And he went out and wept bitterly. So he neglected his prayer life, and he followed him afar off, and no doubt neglected his Bible study as well. And Peter was not only a saved individual, but he was a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ and one that were close to be close to him. But you see, no matter how close sometimes we think we are, we better check and see that we're not falling away. We better not neglect our prayer life. We better not neglect our Bible study, because we need to walk closely with him, especially in this day when the Bible says this is the beginning of sorrows. Brethren, there's something going to come upon this earth very soon like there never has been or ever shall be. It's a time of trouble. A time of trouble. That's what tribulation is. That's what tribulation period represents. A time of trouble that's going to be so horrible, there's never been one like it on this earth ever before. He warmed by the devil's fire and wasn't in the company of believers. The Roman centurion saw Jesus at Calvary. He heard and felt what took place there. He was convinced that Jesus was the Son of God. He confessed him and was saved. When he was confronted, Roman centurion, when he was confronted with Jesus, he saw and he heard and he believed and he trusted, and Jesus saved him. Man's attitude today is generally falls into one of these four categories. The same things are repeated daily by scores of people throughout the world. What will you do with Jesus? It's a personal question. You cannot evade personal responsibilities. It must be answered in this life now if you're going to overcome and escape that which is going to come upon those who reject him. Will you accept him as your Savior if you're here this morning and you're lost? Will you trust him? Will you put your faith and trust in what Jesus did? Because you see, what he did was for you. He didn't do it for himself. He did it for you. He didn't need it done for him, because he'd fulfilled the law and didn't break it in one jot or one tittle, and took it out of the way and made a way for us to be delivered from sin and the condemnation of sin. All it takes is one from the heart believing and trusting in Jesus and what he did. You'll either accept him and be saved, or you'll reject him and be lost. And when you go out of this life, that'll be forever. You'll either serve him so that others might be saved, or you'll neglect him and let them be lost. What are you going to do with Jesus? What do you need to do with Jesus? Depends on the condition that you're in. If you're lost, you need to repent of your sins and by faith trust him as Savior. If you're saved, then you need to take and you need to follow him in scriptural baptism. You need to unite with his New Testament church that you may give him honor and glory. And by the way, if you're a member of the church, You need to strive to earn rewards that you can lay at his feet and give him the ultimate of honor and glory. Let's stand. If you're here this morning, what are you going to do with Jesus, which is called Christ? What should we sing, brother?
385.
As we sing this hymn, and you're there in the pew, you know that you need to come to the altar. Why don't you come? If you're here, make an altar where you're at. But look to Jesus for that which you stand in need of.